Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Almost live from the trenches of New York City, here are your middle-aged warriors, Chris Cimino and Rick Summers.
Hey, 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 welcome back, kids. Show number 62, Middle-Aged Warriors. How are you, Mr. Rick?
I am really good. How are you today?
I'm fine. I think I'm still Chris Cimino. Well, whenever it is, but it doesn't really matter when people listen. We're doing this in the evening, which is actually a rare time for us. We've been kind of busy bouncing around with a lot of stuff, but people, it doesn't really matter when time wise.
And we're a couple of losers who have no plans on a Wednesday night because our women are tied up with other things.
Mine is in Tokyo. Yours is on the job right now. And, you know, the Mets played this afternoon. So I figured, well, I got nothing else to do tonight. So let's do a podcast with Rick. how are you, buddy?
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm all right. It's been a little bit of a frustrating day. You know, we were just talking about this. We have a bunch of topics we want to just kind of vent about, I think, collectively, both of us. But I was supposed to be heading out on Friday.
We're calling this one winging it.
Yeah, we're winging it. This is, by the way, I hope you guys had a chance to listen to the previous show with Savannah Guthrie. She was really an awesome guest. The response has been really good. And she was just very genuine. And just we had a blast with her. And I'm glad she took the time to spend with the middle-aged warriors. And she considers herself one. Or at times, maybe a middle-aged princess, as she liked to call
it. Yeah, I love that.
Which is kind of cool. But we thank her again for that. So what's going on now? I was supposed to be out of town leaving on Friday. I think we had mentioned earlier podcast. My brother was in a pretty bad accident early June. He's in the process of recovering. He's now back at home rehabbing. And his birthday actually is July 24th. And me and my mom, my 86, almost 87-year-old mom, we were going to fly down. And we had set up arrangements. But the variant is running wild right now down in Florida. And the feeling was from down there and different people, including the people that are taking care of him, that maybe he should, his whole immune system is still run down, I guess, as he's trying to recover through all of this. And so that maybe it's best that people don't come and potentially bring something there. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy. I mean, I have my own thoughts about all of the anxiety about it, but I understand that. I respect that. I don't have a problem with that. But I had made the arrangements fairly late. So I did the what's called basic economy. Basic economy means if you don't get on this plane, MF-er, you're not getting anything back. And you should be happy that we strap you to the wing, you know?
It just doesn't seem right. It's like to me when you buy a ticket on Metro North and it has an expiration date on it, because if you go into the city and let's say you want to stay and then you want to use the ticket a month later or whatever it is, they say, sorry, that ticket expired.
Right.
Why did it expire?
Well,
you made the money.
Right. You have my money. I didn't take up a seat in the process. And the thing that I did with this was I had upgraded the seat so you can, because in basic economy, you can't choose the seats. And my mom, you know, she needs a wheelchair even to get, you know, to the plane. And she wants an aisle seat. And so I went in and I thought, well, I'm not going to upgrade to the point of like $75 per person, because the extras that you got sort of would have been redundant to what happens when you bring somebody with a wheelchair, you know, to the gate. So I said, all right, but I will pay the extra $45 per person per seat, which was about 90 bucks, whatever, each way for the two of us to get an assigned seat.
Hey, want to take a quick moment for our all-important sponsor? Well, July is well underway and a great month for sports. If you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you should go to win money today. With the NBA Finals now behind us and the MLB heading into the second half of the season, there's plenty of betting action to get involved in. If you're a football bettor, there are tons of futures and props you can wager on as well. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, anyway, bottom line is, so now we have to cancel. And I don't even, you know, I understand it's not refundable, but typically I always got a voucher for the at least within the next year, you can use the money for another flight.
Right.
Well, apparently the basic economy doesn't allow that.
That's just not right.
Yeah, and explaining to them, well, this was a sick person we were going to see, and because of the situation with COVID, we were told not to. So my mom then made the phone calls, and they said, well, we need a doctor's note from down there. And I said, all right, seems like a lot of work for something they should just kind of give a wave to, but all right, in these times that we're in. Yeah. But then it was followed with, and we need a birth certificate. A copy of your birth.
Reminds me of this. This is the sign.
You remember that?
Where he goes to Michigan and he needs a copy of the death certificate.
He needs a death certificate. Otherwise, right, to get the, whatever it's called, to fly, you know, basically.
Yeah, the bereavement fair.
So, and then she said, but this is my, and this is where I have to really give my mom credit. My mom's going to be 87 years old in October. And she says to them, well, so that would prove what? That I'm a family member. She, well, what if I'm a friend that wanted to go down and see him and now I couldn't because of it's not, you know, because of COVID and this whole variant, it's not a good thing.
Right.
And they said, oh no, we'd still need your birth certificate. She goes, well, what would a birth certificate of a friend prove that we were friends?
Yeah, really.
and she literally said to them, and I know my mom, I got all my snippiness from my mother. And she said, do you realize how stupid you sound by saying that to the person on the other end? She goes, I know you're doing your job and you're following the rules, but you realize how stupid this sounds. You need the birth certificate of a friend to prove what? The connection?
Yeah.
Okay, I was born in Sioux City, Iowa in 1945, and I'm friends with somebody who was born in New York in 1955. Like, where's the connection? How do I know you're connected? And it just... And, you know, I'm going to mention that it's United Airlines and they should be ashamed of themselves because, you know,
they should.
This is a very stressful time for everybody. And you've got to be more flexible. I'm sorry. You have to be.
The irony is that the COVID now is the Delta variable.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I fly Delta and I never have a problem.
Yeah, there you go.
And I don't. But the point being, you know, this industry. Yes, it took a tremendous hit, but the government also gave it a lot. And it, by the way, this industry was raping us for a long time. They've been, you know, it's one of those only industries that's like, oh, well, fuel prices went up. Oh, airline prices go up or demand goes up. Okay, so we raise our prices. And it's not for the people. In a lot of other countries, it's government run. And there's a whole controversy if you want to get into that. That's a whole other thing. But my point is, airlines in general, I don't think are very fair to their customers. They really are not in general.
And no, this one in particular. Business, I know, and they're a business, and I get that. But I got to tell you that the industry is kind of it's a tough nut to crack.
The point being that this is the part that really irks me is that so then I spent $45 per seat for two people each way to be able to choose a seat, which was limited at what I would choose.
Right.
And now I'm not going to be in that seat, nor my mother. They're going to resell that seat again for that price. That would be like saying, okay, I bought two tickets to see a Ranger game or a Knick game at Madison Square Garden. I didn't show up, but the Garden then resells those same seats and gets my money and somebody else. No, that doesn't happen. Why does that happen on an airline? And that's I call BS on that.
That's a good call. And
I'm sorry.
Be honest with you,
I'm angry.
I need a copy of the death certificate.
Yeah, it's the old Seinfeld episode.
That great. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm wearing the shirt you gifted me today. I'm wearing it. You didn't gift it to me today, but I'm wearing it today. And it's the old George Costanza. The Jerk Store called. They're all out of you. That was his big comeback at the board meeting. But anyway, what do you have? I'm tired of venting. You talk. What do you have in your
All right, plate? So what I do want to say, and I wouldn't have known it until you alerted me that we had our 5,000th download.
Oh, yeah. We've cleared the 5,000 mark. Hey, woo!
Yes. All right.
Vince so excited.
Of course. Of course, Chris, your mom was 4,900 of them.
Well, you know, whatever it takes, dude. Thanks, and Valerie were the others. Yeah.
But yeah, no, we appreciate everybody who does stop by from time to time, and hope you will spread the word, because it's a numbers game. And if we don't keep the numbers up, they'll probably come after us and Zoom. We're going to be gone.
Yes, we do appreciate everybody who has, look, the podcast, you know, we understand the podcast market is inundated, and the fact that you even take the time to stop. And I know there are some people who listen fairly regularly to us, and I really, really, really appreciate that. We hope, you know, we're the voice of other middle-aged warriors, and or at least give people a sense of, hey, you know, we're still...
Yeah, or we're just a couple of guys shooting the shit, and we love having you along to hear whatever it is we're complaining or complimenting about, and essentially, you know, we're sharing our lives with each other and with you, and we are thrilled to have you there on your side of the computer. I was gonna say the radio, but you can see how I was trained.
Well, you're in the biz. So what else is going on? We wanted to talk about a few other things that have been happening.
Well, for me, the big thing is, it's funny because in 1989, when I was doing morning radio out on Long Island, that represented, July 20th represented 20 years that we landed on the moon in 1969. And the woman who was on the air with me was younger than me, but it was just not a big deal to her. But to me, it was a big deal. And now, all of a sudden, it's 52 years later, with July 20th passing a couple of days ago. I mean, I can't believe it's 52 years. And it's funny, I guess funny may not be the word, but looking up at the moon on July 20th and thinking, my God, we need dudes walking there. That's pretty amazing. The moon was red and I couldn't figure out why. I thought,
smoke. Wow,
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, smoke from a distant fire.
Yeah, it had that orange red tinge to it last night. I saw some beautiful pictures posted too on social media. But it was from a fire, huge forest fire in Canada, which was also a result of tremendous heat and dry weather that they've been having. And that also lightning reaches the ground, but the rain never does. It dries out before getting there. So that is also something that can start, you know, fires that people don't realize. And then just people being not very responsible can leave something that ends up catching fire. But going back to July 20th, 1969, and it's funny you bring up somebody younger was like, it was no big deal. And I guess I was 8, you were 9.
Right.
You had probably just turned 9 and I was 8.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this, now, I remember when I was at that age and even before that, I loved the concept of being an astronaut. I had a friend two doors down on my street, Paul Cameron, and we would pretend we were astronauts, and we would take the patio table that he had and we'd flip it on its side and we'd make believe that was the back of the module landing and the whole thing, you know. And so I was very much into it. And I remembered watching it on a small black and white TV in my grandmother's apartment, grandmother, grandfather's apartment upstairs. They lived upstairs from us in our home in Ozone Park, Queens. But after that, I thought, well, where was everybody? Why was my Nana babysitting me that night? My mother and father were in a movie theater.
Really?
Watching Ice Station Zebra, because my mother had a crush on Rock Hudson, which of course was a useless crush to have, but she had a crush on Rock Hudson. And I'm like, and later I'm like, Ma, the men were landing on the moon and you went to a movie? And I really, you have to think about a few things there. You know, the mindset, number one, and yet, because media wasn't, can you imagine when something that specific, let's say man was going to land on Mars now. Man would.
Okay.
We know the media would make such a thing out of it that probably everybody would, in some shape or form, whether it's on their phone, on their laptop,
they would
have to see it. We have to see it because it's the thing. We're being told this is the thing. And maybe back then that shows the influence, because I will have these conversations with her all the time about, you know, she talks about how the upheaval of the world today. I'm like, well, let me tell you something. I don't know if you read anything, but by the way, the late 60s were a really rough time in this country, but the media wasn't all over your face. And if you didn't turn the TV on, you had no clue what was going on in the world. You really didn't.
Yeah.
I think that was part of
it. She liked the movie?
Please, Rock Hudson was in it.
Well, there you go.
But it was, yeah, that's a whole other story. But just to think about that, such a monumental, and as you pointed out, I mean, I've sat many nights and looked up at that, and I go, wait, there were like a handful of human beings got to walk on that thing.
Yeah.
And what did, you know, when they come back down and they look up, you're like, I came back from Croatia and I look at pictures and go, whoa, I was on, you know, the other side of the world. Woohoo! These guys were up there
on another world.
Cartoon. Yeah. Just, wow. That's, I don't know. I don't know how that's.
So one of the things I just want to interrupt you for a sec, because talking about your childhood and playing with a friend and pretending you guys were astronauts and stuff, we did the same thing where how I grew up. As a matter of fact, I grew up and there was a guy 4 years older than me who lived across the street named Greg Fisk, and he implemented the Fisk space program.
I love it.
In their basement.
I love it. I love it.
So we had the Fisk space program. So we would play astronauts in their basement, you know, and to this day, my brother and I still laugh about the FSP, the Fisk space program, because it was such a lasting impression on 9-year-old kids, or they were 13-year-old kids. But the Fisk space program, we used to joke around about, you know, launching rockets out, you know, Estes rockets out on the golf course. Funny, like how it sticks. That.
But here you are at 61 years old, and you remember these things, how they stick with you, you know. And to that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, we just watched, I guess it was yesterday morning, Bezos going up and, you know, which is the second launch into, and, you know, and they want to call
billionaire.
Yes, they want to call themselves astronauts now because they all went up categorically. I don't know. That's not being an astronaut. That's just being somebody rich who's able to do something. But
tell you that their flights lasted about 11 minutes?
Yeah.
It takes me longer to get from the car up to our living room.
Well, yeah.
Then,
isn't that crazy, though?
Their trip that costs, yeah. And no, it's incredible. I mean, I'd love to do it. I would love to do it. I mean, it's if I had an extra couple $100 million lying around, I would probably do the same thing, but I don't. Sorry. No.
And, you know, I mean, I'm sure somewhere down the road when we're not even around, you know, this is just the beginning of something that's going to become.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it'll be normal, but it, you know, may take some time. I mean, the fact of the matter is, when you think about it, as you pointed out, 52 years ago. So let's say in 1969, we were able to put man on the moon. We really have not gone that much further since then when it comes to, if you really think of it, in 52 years, think about the technology that has advanced on the planet here, what we can do, how we move information around and et cetera, et cetera. But you would have thought by now we'd have somebody on Venus, on Mars, somewhere, permanent space station where people live, like cities out in space being created. I mean, that was 52 years. So in a certain sense, that hits me two ways. That was incredible what they were able to do back in 1969. At the same time, we realized that spending so much money on something that maybe wasn't going to be so fruitful in the long run, I think that was just, let's beat the Russians. I mean, Kennedy was like, let's start this program.
Yeah.
Let's beat them. We're not having the Russians get on the moon before us. So I think that was kind of where all of that came from. But it's, you know, even you think about the space shuttles and the space stations. So what's really become of it? I think it costs a lot of money. And
it does. But the one thing I do want to say, as a fan of the space program, and my brother who works for
right.
a news operation and covers the space program very, very carefully, when you think about all the things that we now take for granted that were invented basically through discoveries made in the space program, and of course, if you ask me now, what are they, Rick? I'm probably going to draw a blank, but you know, you can look at any one of 100 things that we did, a microwave oven. I mean, that was all, you know, through the science learned. And when you think about Apollo 13, and right. they talk about Apollo 13, you know, failure is not an option. That's the mug I sometimes drink my coffee out of. And I'm always amazed when I hear them say that we have more computer power in our iPhone, our smartphone, than they had on a space capsule hurtling between Earth, the moon, and trying to get back here alive. That's amazing to me. When you look at, you know.
Oh, clearly. Yeah. And the first point you brought up, yes, I think what's come out of the space program has been things that have advanced us here on Earth, but yet the program itself, in terms of where we're going beyond the moon, didn't seem to advance like most things have advanced in 52 years. However, the other thing you bring up, which has always amazed me, because, you know, I'll watch the movie, you know, Apollo 13, and it's not comprehensible what those guys were able to figure out, you know, almost on paper with a pen and paper. I don't think anybody understands, unless the, you know, the people who are in it, the physicists and the astrophysicists, and they'll get it. That was a miracle. I mean, they pulled that one out of there, you know what. It was brilliant in such a primitive.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. You know what, Chris, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I was trying to do some tax work before we started broadcasting, and my calculator broke and I couldn't do any math. I'm ashamed, but I'm honest. You know?
Wow.
You're it's all about disclosure, yeah. right?
That's full.
Yeah.
That is full disclosure. I hear you. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just incredible to think of what, you know, in that, I mean, think of the stress and what they were under. I mean, they basically had three people's lives in their hands and the world yeah. was watching. And it's just, that was incredible. But in other news, what else we have going on? Well, by the way, so I was watching I've been watching the Mets and Yankees over the last, I get to watch a little more baseball now, because sometimes, you know, with Edmi being in Tokyo, yeah. there's no guilt feeling of me watching a ball game on a night. And she'll say, not that she says, don't watch the game. But I feel like, I'd rather spend time with her watching something. But so I've been watching a little more baseball.
Apparently, by the way, which sport is she competing in?
Makeup. She's doing the powder puff. She's doing the powder puff. And I think the sponge under the eye competition, which is very specific and it's very stressful. So she's working.
Yeah.
But all that being said.
You doing okay?
No, the Yankees the other night, I'm not going to misquote the year, but apparently the lineup, the collective line, because of all the injuries they had, the collective lineup the Yankees had the least amount of previous Yankee experience since any lineup since, I believe they said either 1917 or like 1908.
Really?
Or ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's that, they're that bare bones. And then the Mets, as of yesterday, which now keep in mind, it's like just barely past the halfway point of the season, have used 54 different players already on their roster. Their all-time record is 56. So all they need
is 2 players
to break like that. But that speaks to, and I don't know what your thinking is on this. And I honestly, at your party, we were hanging out with John Franco, and I'd love to get him back on the show for a few topics, and I'll get to the other baseball topic ahead, but what is it with these injuries? What's going on here? Are these guys from the working out too much? Have they made their muscles too short, their tendons, their ligaments too tight, as opposed to, I mean, come on, you know the players we saw growing up. You didn't see Tom Seaver going the D, oh, I have tightness in my forearm. Oh, I have tightness in my rib. Oh, I have tightness, you know, like every 5 minutes,
somebody's going.
Yeah. Out. You know what? And it's funny because, you know, I had rotator cuff problems in the last few months.
Oh, see, and of course, said, you're another one.
I said, it's not even my pitching arm.
Exactly.
But I agree with you. And I do agree with what you said. And that is, it seems like guys played through a lot more when we were kids, a lot more injury, a lot more adversity. And that's one of the reasons I love hockey so much, because a guy will lose six teeth from a high stick and he'll miss two shifts, get some stitches and
get stitched up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's back out there. Yeah.
A baseball player gets stitched up, he's out for at least, 6 weeks. You know, it's just now again. But to that point, I don't even know if those guys, you know, the ball players, baseball players were playing through injuries, or did they even not have them? I'm thinking, like, why are there so many injuries now? Is it the same number, or is it there are more injuries now? And I know they're bulking up. These guys are big. These guys are
animals. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the physique of an Art Chamsky and an Ed Cranepool. Let's be honest. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. You know, like, that's a ball player? No, that's my accountant. He's going to do my taxes.
Yeah, right.
You know, but these were ball players. But they didn't get hurt. They didn't go down so easily. And I just don't know. I mean, look at Hank Aaron. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Hank Aaron in a weird way in a hallway at NBC. And the guy was a little shorter than me. And I'm thinking, that's Hank Aaron? You know, and we talked about John Franco, not a big guy, but he got the job done. He threw high in the 90s. Like, what's happening now? I mean, these are big, big boys that are playing, and they're very strong.
2 points I want to make. We have to get John back on the show to talk about baseball and talk about this point. We also need to get Peter Greenberg back on the show to talk about your tickets and the fact that you're getting hosed by United Airlines on tickets that you can't use because of COVID.
But the and the other thing, and I just heard them say today, and I'm glad and I'm hoping it happens, when the COVID shortened season had come up, they decided to make doubleheaders only 7 innings. And then they also decided to extra innings automatically put a man on second base. And I briefly at your party where John Franco was there, I brought it up and he's like, oh, please. I'm so tired of talking about this. Like, obviously he did not, he doesn't, like, that is not baseball. There's no reason to play 7 innings. What are we in Little League all of a sudden? There's no reason to put a man on second base that didn't earn it. Like, what are we doing?
Is it going to get dark? You know, is it going to get dark and is mom going to call us home for dinner?
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. So apparently the gut feeling was, what I was hearing today, is that they're definitely going to drop the 7-inning rule on doubleheaders. You're going to play a doubleheader, typical 9-inning game. And extra innings, they want to also think about getting rid of. Like, why should a pitcher then come in and have to deal with, oh, there's already a guy on second base who didn't earn it to get there, but, oh, he's there. That's not baseball. Oh, it speeds up what? You know what you want to do? Put a clock and don't have a pitcher step off the mound, a batter step out of the box 16 times between a pitch.
Yeah.
That slows down the game. Let's get those guys in. You can't step out of the box. After you've stepped out of the box once and call time once at an at-bat, you're done. That's number one. A pitcher can only step off the mound so many times. That's number two. That'll speed up the game. Don't change the rules and put a fictitious man on second base and then he scores a fictitious run.
This is the Cimino method, and I like it. And it reminds me of years ago when I worked for the Mets at Shea. They used to give me a stopwatch to time from the moment the ball third out happened and the ball came back and rolled onto the pitcher's mound until they started with the first pitch on the next batter. Right. Because they were very conscious of the fact that everything was taking far too long. And people just don't, you know, we're short attention span theater, and nobody's got the time to sit through pitchers stepping off the mound, through batters stepping out of the batter box.
And they also have this other rule, apparently. I don't know exactly the definition of it, but I don't know what inning it is, but you cannot, a relief pitcher has to come in. Let's say he's the closer, maybe in the last inning, I'm not sure. He has to face at least three batters. And that's a little weird. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Did you want to talk about the Pete Alonso thing or not?
Oh, sure. That's a good topic.
Yeah, well, because it really irked us both.
Well, you know, I guess, and again, it's and it's sort of this probably reeks a little bit of being an older middle-aged warrior. It's old school and new school and just the way things are done now. But I'll preface it with saying that I personally was never a fan of this over-celebration on the field, this rubbing it in, this taunting, whatever you want to call it. You're an athlete. You prove your worth. You prove how good you are by what you do in the game that you play, not how great you celebrate, not whether you rip your shirt off at the end of a walk-off walk, you know. So what had happened was I had watched the Pete Alonso, and when Pete Alonso first came up, and I thought this kid was, you know, I'm like, oh, I mean, what's, you know, 53 home runs as a Met, was like, you know, it was off the charts. Then last shortened season, he wasn't quite as productive or anything, but he had won the home run derby the same year he had all his home runs. And then this year, I saw him in the home run derby, and there was just a cockiness and an arrogance and a flaunting and a chest pounding and a arm waving to a crowd that's not even his hometown crowd, and then making statements at the end that I am the most, I'm the best power hitter in the game.
Yeah.
Come on, dude, you've been doing this for 3 years. That's great. And you should be happy what you're doing and proud of what you're doing, but it speaks for itself what you're doing. Don't speak for it. Don't over, you know, celebrate in front of everybody. It was just, it just struck me in a weird way. So I made a post on Facebook because, by the way, I have to be honest. I mean, his numbers are not that great this year. I think he has like 19 home runs and about 53 RBI, something like that, which is not, you know, off the charts. There are many players. I think Vladimir Guerrero is like, has 31 home runs. But the point being, every time I watch, he hits into a double play in clutch situation. He doesn't really deliver when I watch. I don't know, man. It's just me. But I was
going to stop watching.
Yeah, I was in a pissy mood, and it was one of those things, and it was right after that whole celebratory thing I'd seen. And I said, you know, Pete, you won the home run derby, but that doesn't really count. What counts is what you do during the games that count. And, you know, maybe you should, you know, think about toning it down. And I sort of got a mixed reaction. The first response, people came after me, but then other people started agreeing with me that no, there's no real place for that. And but some people are like, whoa, he donates money. I'm like, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He's not a bad young man, you know, and he does donate. He gives some money to the Warriors and all different things. And that's wonderful. And he's not making millions yet because he's still in the, you know, he's a rookie, basically. Yeah. He's a youngin'. He will, but that doesn't give you the right to be so in people's face, the bobbing of the head the whole time. It's just, it's kind of obnoxious, and I'm sorry. And I said that, and then other people, well, you know, you don't think, do you ever hear Tom Seaver in an interview? You don't think he was arrogant? I'm like, he might have been arrogant. He deserved to be arrogant, but he didn't do it on the field. He didn't strike a batter out and pound his chest in their face, did he? You know, and that's my point. That stuff didn't, Hank Aaron didn't run around breaking Babe Ruth's record, pounding his chest, did he?
Yeah.
Pete Alonso would. And that's, I don't know whether it's the just the era we are and the generation they live in. They think this is the thing to do. I personally don't like it. It's not respectful to the game to me. That's my opinion. I don't know how
I agree with you. And by the way, Tom Seaver did win a World Series.
Well, he won a World Series, and he won Cy Youngs, and he, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny. Today, Ron Darling was talking about he had gotten invited to Tom's house, his home, out in California, I think it was, in Fresno, somewhere in California. And Tom was out in the garden tending to the flowers, as he was back in those days. And he said, if I'm not there, just go into the office and, you know. So Darling was walking around the office looking at all the awards and stuff, the Cy Young Awards. And then he saw this one drawer that was kind of a little askew, a little opened. And he looked and he's like, there's a bunch of baseball shoved in there. So he said, well, then later that night, he goes, we went out to dinner and I had a few glasses of wine. So, you know, now I'm brave asking a question. And I said, you know, I was in your office looking at everything. And then I saw this one drawer that's, you know, I didn't open it or anything, but it's filled with baseballs. What is that? He said, those were all my shutouts. There were 61 baseballs shoved.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And that's, you know, so, hey, look, if Tom Seaver had any arrogance and bravado, he earned it.
It was in his drawers.
It was in that drawer. But he didn't do it in front of other opponents on the field. And that's my point. Sometimes it's just that, you know, you get excited, you can jump up and down, you can do whatever. There's a way of doing it, and then there's this really arrogant bravado about doing it. And Pete Alonso is getting close to crossing that line where he's going to turn people off. And I saw by the response from my post on Facebook, he already has. And he's a good kid, and he's a talented kid. But you have to be careful, because this is not just a sport. You know, it's a popularity contest, too. And you have to win.
It is. And in New York, it's a religion. Mets and Yankees baseball is, you know, it's live by the sword, die by the sword. So,
By the way, I
should probably jump in here and say, you're listening to Middle Age Warriors.
Who are they?
He's Chris Cimino. I'm Rick Summers. We're on the Believe Podcast Network. We're cruising towards getting 10,000 downloads, and we need your help. So please spread the word. And by the way, we've had so many exciting and interesting people on with us in the past year and change that we invite you to just tune in whenever you can. Go back and listen to something you may not have listened to. And as Chris had mentioned at the top of this show, we had Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show on NBC join us last week before she jetted off to Tokyo to cover the Olympics. But we've had so many great people who have been kind enough to give us their time and their opinions, like yours.
Well, we need to hear from you guys as well. I mean, we've tried to solicit feedback at times, but you know, it's a podcast overload. We certainly understand that, and we're happy to be part of the Believe Podcast Network, which is really making some big strides and getting some big names on board as well for all different types of podcasts. I think I just have had this discussion many times over for all of the different projects that I've been trying to launch, and Valerie's kind of in the same boat at times too with this kind of thing. And Valerie being the voice of our show and your wife, you know, our age group, and I'm going to group it as late as like from late 40s into the mid to late 60s. There's a lot of us, and we're still very vibrant and relevant and have money to spend and things to do and a voice and things to say. I find that some part of what the media is still trapped in an old world. You know, that's the old, what was it, to 54, 54, after 54, you're done in the ratings.
Yeah, 25 to 54 was the key sales demo.
And
I told you when I turned 55, I was so depressed because I thought, oh my God, I exited the demo. I don't count anymore.
You don't count anymore. And the reality is, schmucks at Nielsen, and I say that with remorse, you know, young people in 25, they're not watching television anymore. So get your stuff together and realize the ratings you need to take are people of 45 to 75, because that's what's left of your audience.
Yeah.
That's what's left of your audience. But that audience still has money to spend. Most of the 25-year-olds are in debt. They don't have money to spend.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
But, you know, it's just stupid to me. But this concept, it's like, it's not the same world anymore. And I am shocked that they have not moved the needle. All they move the needle is, oh, now we count impressions on social media and views and streaming. That's fine and dandy. You can count all you want. The audience for a lot of traditional television is no longer 25 to 40. They're gone. And I don't think they're ever coming back. It's just a different world. So slide with it is my point. You know, I sound like a grumpy old man, but I'm just trying to make sense of this. And I don't, you know, like this refusal. No, still the same. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it work. No, you're not. The world changes. Society has changed. And you just, you know, you go with it. And I don't see this. I don't understand this resistance. I don't see why they're not,
you know what,
to move it.
Talking about our past careers and the stories that we've weaved over the years of being in radio and television, I'm so glad we did it when we did it. Mm. I'm so glad it's in the rearview mirror. And I'm just kind of nauseous when I look at the state of the industry right now.
It would never be the ride that we had if we had to start now. We would, me, Valerie, we would never have had the journey and the wondrous journey and really a beautiful journey. And for the most part, you know, very successful and a happy one that we had. If we were starting now, it just wouldn't happen that way. It would not have been the way. It's just changed. And that's fine. I get it. Things change. And to your point, you're right. I'm very grateful that we had our careers in the time frame. My own son said that to me one day. He said, you know, Dad, you were there in the gravy years.
And yeah, absolutely.
He was right. I've been watching, and I highly recommend this. I've only watched like 2.5 episodes of it. It's 3-2-1, Paul McCartney. It's on Hulu. He's with Rick Rubin and dissecting some of the Beatles stuff. The stories are just, and to watch Paul tell the stories with such passion still, and to hear him dissect the music and the lyric and how things happen, it was really heartwarming. And I don't know if there's an artist today even remotely close to doing something like what they did. It's really watch it. Middle-Aged Warriors, I think you're all going to love it. It's on Hulu. I don't typically promote shows like that, but it's 3-2-1. It's Paul McCartney with Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin was a producer for, you know, more the later, you know, hip hop. There was one thing he said, a little story in particular he said, which really struck me because I remember it so well. And, you know, Paul's older than us. And he was talking about getting the new album, you know, and then he'd go to the record store and then he'd get on the bus and he'd open up the album and he'd take the sleeve out and he'd read all the lyrics and all the little drawings. And you'd examine that thing from top to bottom, front to back. It was a whole process. It was such an exciting feeling. And I can remember that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because when I was young, I didn't really love the Beatles. I heard them. I liked them. But I was not a Beatles maniac. But as I've gotten older, I've really gained an appreciation for the Beatles.
Yeah.
And music of the 70s. It was so much better. And I know I do sound like an old man when I say that. But God, I hear my father's words saying, "You guys don't know anything about music. Who's Elton John?" I'm like, "Dad, enough." But you know, it's like 50 years from now, people will still be listening to the Beatles. Will they be listening to Snoop Dogg or whoever is hot in rap? I don't even know.
I hate not being in touch with, but I have no interest in it. And that's the difference. It's a weird separation that I find, that it's not a true social attachment to the music. Music used to move us socially as a country. Remember, it wasn't just the music. Then it became clothing and a fad and how you the haircut you got and the way you dressed. And, you know, and that seems to have fallen short of, like, the last fad was, let me wear my underwear halfway down my ass crack and walk around. And I still see that, you know, periodically.
Which yeah.
Is, you know, whatever it is. It's fine. That's what you want to do. Whatever. I'm not even going to get into it.
Hey, listen, old man.
Yeah.
I think it may be time for us to go to bed soon.
Yeah, it's a put grandpa to bed. Give him his pill. Chris, you need your pill. I'm getting a message from Tokyo. It's morning there, so I have to say good morning. But until next time, sunshine always.
Be good, feel good. Thank you for tuning in to Middle Age Warriors on the Believe Podcast Network with Chris and Rick. And we'll pitch again the next time we are behind the microphone.
And of course, as always, this broadcast was brought to you by, come on, say it with me, Bet
brought to you by
Online.
Online.
There's an echo in here. Have a good night, Rickster.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.